All right, so we're continuing from before the storm. So we were antediluvian. So
what does that mean?
Yeah. That means before the flood. We were discussing Parshas Chukas and the idea of the transition of Klal Yisrael from the slave nation with the slave mentality to a free, independent, courageous nation. And we were discussing what the plan was, right? Of course, the plan was that they should leave Mitzrayim and pretty much in a matter of a couple of months be ready for to go into Eretz Yisrael. That was the original, that was at least the opportunity that they were given. And then we were discussing the secondary plan. When they failed at that, and they were afraid to enter the land, so then they had to go through the 40 years in the desert. So we're trying to explain the key element that was supposed to take them from the nation of Avadim to being a free people in a short amount of time. So the idea that we were trying to express was that it's the ultimate freedom really comes from a freedom of the mind and a confidence in the mind, and that could have been achieved through Torah, because Torah is not a religion of an oppressive nature where your will is subjected and your mind is subjected to another force. It's not like moving from avdus to avdus. Avdus of Melech Bos of Adam is in Mitzrayim. They try to take away your individuality. That's what a Melech does. That's how you control the population. In modern day we have a society like that. In modern times, it's almost frightening to see that people could actually that a whole group of people live this way, and that is like in North Korea. Have you ever seen like these shows about what goes on over there in North Korea? I mean, it's like a Nazi Germany kind of thing, like a total brainwashing of the whole population, and they cannot think for themselves. Everything is the dear leader, the great leader, whatever the new one is called. And that's like their whole framework. They don't have any idea of doing for themselves because they don't have any individuality. But we were saying that that's the interesting idea that's the paradoxical idea of the avdus of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that it's really an avdus of liberation. How? Because it gives the person his own intellect. It frees his mind and it shows him and it elevates his intelligence to the highest level. And it demands of the Torah really demands of a person to think for themselves and to trust their mind and to understand things on their own. So it's not just a signing over your intellect and suppressing your own thoughts. On the contrary, our greatest ideal is a Talmud Chacham who has intelligence, obviously. And like we said, I think we mentioned last time, it's even in halacha itself. We say a mamzer is a Talmud Chacham is greater than the Kohen Gadol of Zamarts. So we don't have like a system of class. You know, for practical reasons, they have to be Kohanim, Leviim, Beis David. There have to be certain stations for practical reasons. We can talk about that another time. But it's not like a system where we say you are intrinsically this level, you're intrinsically that level. On the contrary, we don't have anything like that. We say it's the person's own nature that really his own abilities that really are the only thing that matter. And like we mentioned last time, the system of Torah fosters a certain freedom of thought and a confidence, and that's really where confidence comes from. True confidence comes from a confidence in your own mind. Like we said, Benos Slavchad were orphan girls, and they were able to approach Moshe and the whole all the Chachamim and say, "We have a thought here on this issue that maybe you didn't, maybe you don't know. You know, this is our idea." And Moshe came back and said, "Kain b'no slavchad." Hashem said, "You're right." So that really was the plan that the Klal Yisrael should get Torah. They should learn the lesson of Torah and internalize that message. And through that, they would really be able to become individuals and courageous people who, courage means that you see an idea, you know it's right, and you act on it. A slave doesn't have that ability because he doesn't have the ability to see an idea on his own right. So that was the idea. But as is often the case, people don't live up to an opportunity that they're given. And because of that, basically two things had to occur. That generation had to die out, right? They were not able to reach that level. And the next generation you needed to have a new generation that was not raised under the framework of Mitzrayim. Apparently, that framework of Avdus, although it's possible to come out of it, is very difficult. And the door of the Midbar, really, they were able to grow up within the system of Torah. The door of Mitzrayim were not able to make a transition themselves. And it needed to be a whole new generation that started not with the baggage of the society of the culture of Mitzrayim. So that was really the 40 years. It wasn't just a matter of 40 years. It was a matter of a new beginning. It had to be based. They had to begin in the system of Torah. They had to begin with that. They had to begin coming home as little kids with a question that they asked the Rebbe, and the Rebbe said, "Good." Instead of saying, "Don't ask questions," right? It's a certain culture of Chachma. Okay. Yeah. There's another thing. The Rambam says also one other thing about the 40 years is that in the Midbar it toughened them up a little.
So
it was the mindset of Mitzrayim that they couldn't break away from. Was we talked about last week. Last time is the mindset of being reliant on a person. That was really the Eved. That's why when they were afraid that Moshe wasn't returning, they were terrified because they needed a person. Torah really trains you to think like the Ran says in one of the drushas. He says a foolish person is fixated on the immediate cause of something. But a chacham looks to the ultimate cause. So he says, like, for instance, if a guy is in prison and he's being beaten by the guard, so immediately it's the stick, but nobody's that dumb, right? So they go up to the guard. That's a lower level type of a person. He's He's concerned with the guard, because the guard is the guy who's actually beating him. But someone who's a bigger chacham will maybe try to get a connection with the warden, and then maybe with the governor. You know what I mean? So a chacham really looks at the deeper causes. But that takes chachma. The average person and the mitzvah were that generation. They were very fixated on the immediate. They couldn't see Moshe as a shliach Hashem, and that's it. It was Moshe for them, right? So let's just take a look a little bit at the events of the door of this. Of the new generation. So what happened in Chukah? So we mentioned last time that where does the old generation end and the new generation begin? Basically, the pasuk says that Miriam died, right? It says Vayavo b'nei Yisrael kol ha'eda midbar tzin. So Rashi says, "Kol." What does it mean to say "Kol ha'eda"? The whole Eda. So he says, "Eda Shlema," the complete Eda. Shekvar Mesu Mesei Midbar. Ve'elu Parshu L'chaim. That's in Perek Chof, Pasuk Aleph. So at that moment, that's really where the story of the new generation begins. Okay. So what happened? It wasn't so easy even for them. They were not trapped by their past, because they didn't have a past of Mitzrayim. But still, they did obviously have, they still were raised by those people, and it still is a struggle that everybody has to go through. Even if you're raised in the perfect situation, it still is an internal struggle that, as a child, it's to go from the childish world of security and not so childish, to a security from the security in the immediate things to a security in God. It's not an easy transition. So still, what happened? The Miriam died. V'lohaya mayim la'eda vayikalu al Moshe v'al Aaron. So it sounds like the same old, pattern, right? Vayorav ha'om in Moshe, vayomru le'mor, v'lu govanu b'gva acheinu l'fnei Hashem. Oh, we would have been better off if we would have died with the other people. L'fnei Hashem. Yeah. So, Yilomo ha'el yisunu mimitzrayim, l'havi yosanu el ha'makom ha'roh hazeh, l'omakom zera, te'ena v'gefen v'inamon, u'mayim ayin lishtos. This is not a promised land over here. Of Te'ena, Zera, Te'ena, Geffen, right? And we don't have any water? Yep. So this is the beginning of what? Of the chait of Moshe. So it's an interesting thing. Is this just the same old thing? That's what I want to know. Is this just the same old thing where they complained every single time? So it's interesting. The Rambam in the Perush Hashnayos says that he says, what was Moshe's chait over here? Right? So he says that Hashem said, Hakel es ha'eda ata ve'aron chicha, right? V'dibarta el ha'sela, and Mayim will produce Mayim. And what did Moshe do? He gathered the nation, and he said, Shimu no hamorim. Listen up. Now, you rebellious people. Amina hasela zeh notzi lochem mayim. You think I will produce water from this rock? And he lifted his hand and he hit the sela two times. Okay. And then Hashem said, Yan lo amantem bi lakti sheni le'enei b'nei Yisrael. Right? You didn't believe in me to be mekadesh me in front of b'nei Yisrael. L'chein lo soviu es ha'kol hazeh. Ela arz shino saklam. So the Rambam says, now, what was the chait? Rambam says that the chait. He says, I'm going to tell you what I think, and you know what everybody else thinks. And he says, you'll compare it, you'll see. Let the truth lead you. But he says, what was the chait? That Moshe's the chait was not the hitting. He holds the chait was Shimu no hamorim. He said, listen up, you rebellious people. It says, in the story itself, in the psukim, it never says that Hashem was angry. It doesn't say that. Many times you'll see, you know, in the mice, whatever there'll be, there'll be a magefa, there'll be something from the complaint. Or Hashem says, how long are they going to do this? But there's nothing, there's no response. It just says, Vayera kvar Hashem aleihem, Vayera Hashem Moshe leimor, kachas amata? Right? It was not something that was considered a chait. That they when they asked for this mayim, it wasn't like the other times. And the Chilul Hashem is for Moshe to misrepresent the Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To Moshe was the Malamed to teach the ideas of God to the people, and to imply that there was a certain kas lifnei amakom. You know, so to speak, meaning to say that it was considered to be a bad behavior, when in fact Hashem never said that. That's a distortion of the derech of Hashem, right? That's a distortion of Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Rambam holds really the fate. As a leader, that's the fatal for Moshe's, in Moshe's position, that's the fatal mistake to that's the greatest deviation he could have from his charge, from his job. But the point I'm trying to bring out over here is that this does seem to be a different complaint. It's not just the same complaint of where they're considered where they're faulted. Why? So I was thinking that maybe it's. Maybe you can't blame this group for this particular event, because what was this really? We're saying this was a whole new generation. They grew up in a different environment. Where did they grow up? They grew up in the Midbar, right? And what was there in the Midbar for their entire sojourn? The Be'er Miriam. That was a part of their very life. That was a constant, right? The other people were going place to place. They found water, didn't find water. But the Be'er Miriam was a part of their very existence. That was just, like the sun rises, the Be'er Miriam was there. So you can't blame a person, apparently, for that kind of a complaint. It was a shock. Even they weren't necessarily bad people who didn't have a munah or anything like that, but it's shocking. It's like 3 feet of water on the middle of Reeves Lane. You don't expect something like that. It's something that shakes you up.
You wake up in the morning,
right? No water goes. Exactly. It shakes you up. So it's not wrong for them to react that way. It's a shock. Something that they always had. Yeah. Okay. Why didn't Moshe realize that? That's a good question. That in the Moshe's chait. Yeah, I don't know. So that was the first event over there, the Be'er Mayim, right? Now, so we can say that they were not chotim for asking for that. It wasn't like the same type of a problem that they had in the past. But now you'll see like this. So that was their first growing up over there. They had an obstacle. Okay, they had a bad reaction to it, but it wasn't considered a serious chait. But now what happens, but now you really see, so there you just see that they weren't as bad. But where do you really see that they were good? Where do you really see the first positive step that you can say, this is clearly a different people? Where it says like this, Vayishma Kenani Melech Arod Yoshev HaNegev, right? So it was after Aaron died, and then the Kenani heard that they were coming by, and they fought. Vayilochem B'Yisrael, Vayish B'Mimenu Shevi. They took a captive. Okay? So Rashi says it means they just took one Shifcha, right? Vayish B'Mimenu Shevi. Why? How does he know it was a shivcha? What does it mean? Because they think the pshat is, why does it say Vayish Mimenu Shevi? It means he took captive a captive. You know what I mean? So it implies it wasn't a Jew that was taken captive. But anyway, so what did they do? Vayidar Yisrael neder Lashem lemor, Vayomar. Im noson titein es ha'om hazeh biyodi v'hacharamti es oream. This was already a very sophisticated level. They were not frightened, right? They were not frightened that they were attacked. They were ready to go on the offense over here. And they recognized that it would be that they recognized the idea of a zchus of hashgacha, and they directed their milchama to use the loot, to use the proceeds from the war to dedicate to Hashem, right? Vayishma Hashem b'kol Yisrael v'yitin es haknani v'yacharem eshem v'yasarem. It says Vayishma Hashem is kol Yisrael, right? Hashem listened to their voice, meaning their tefillah, their proposal. It was a plan, and they were granted hashgacha to succeed in the battle. Okay, so you see already, like I'm saying, they already had confidence in their mind, they had a plan, they thought it out, they have the ideal, they know what the proper things to be motivated for are, right? V'yidar neder l'Hashem, and they're able to execute. That's already a very mature attitude. They have the intelligence, they have the ability to work it out, and they have the courage to execute the plan. But then what happens is an interesting thing. What happens is they seem to take a step back. Vayisu me'or ahor derech yamsuf lisbov es eretz edom vatikzar nefesh on vaderech. Now they're really on their way. Right? They're on their way. And they get tikzar nefesh on b'torach haderech reshes. It was difficult. The difficulty of the travel. Shehuk shalem. Amru achshav ayinu krovim likanes la'aretz v'anu mechozrin l'achoreinu, right? They were sort of like dejected. Now we're going around. We were so close, and now we're going around. Avosenu kachazru avosenu. Our fathers also made a turn, and they were stuck for 38 years, right? Yeah. So what does it say? Vayidaber ha'om b'Elokim uveMoshe lemor ha'elisunu mimitzrayim lomo ha'elisunu mimitzrayim lomos b'midbar. They felt like they were close to the objective, and they felt that there was some backtrack, and maybe now they're going to get stuck, and they're not really going to get in there, and they complained. Ki ein lechem v'in mayim v'nafshenu kotzo b'lechem akelokel. They started complaining about the mon. Interesting. Now they're complaining about the mon. Vayishlach Hashem ba'om eisa nechoshim hasrofim vayinashichu es ha'om vayomos am rov miYisrael. So God sent forth these fiery serpents, and they bit the people, and many people died. Vayavo om Moshe vayom chatonu. But they recognized they sinned. It's true they slipped up, they backtracked. They backtracked, but they were able to recognize their chet, right? Chatanu ki dibarnu b'Hashem v'avoch. We recognize we made a mistake. We recognize we sinned. We need to do tshuva. But what did they say? What did they say? Hispalel el Hashem v'yoser me'oleinu es anochosh. What did they say? They asked Moshe to be mispalel for them. Vayispalo Moshe ba'adam. So it's interesting, right? They still were not fully there. They were able to recognize their own failings, but they were not ready yet to really take the full personal responsibility into their own hands. They still looked to Moshe to solve the problem for them. They recognized that it has to do with their relationship to God. It's not like the old people who just were you know, on a much more childish level. They recognized that it was their own failing in their relationship to Hashem, but they were not ready on their own to go through the full process of tshuva and tefillah. They felt they needed Moshe. But what was the response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Ase lecha sarof, v'sim oso al nes. Make for yourself a snake, right? And put it on a pole. V'haya kol ha-noshuch v'ro'o oso v'choy. And whoever sees it, whoever is bitten, will look at it and live. Yeah. Vayas Moshe nechash nechoshas. Vayisimeyu al ha-neis. V'haya em noshuch ha-nochosh es ish. V'hibid el nechash ha-nechoshas v'choy. So what was this all about? And Moshe made... What type of a nechoshes did he make? What type of a nechosh did he make?
Copper.
Why copper? Doesn't say to make copper. Just says asay lecha sarof. Right, Rashi. Lo nemar lo lasos shel nechoshes elo Moshe. Kosh baruch hu korehu nechash nechosh. Vani esenu shel nechoshes lashon nofel al lashon. Play on words.
Is that a proof that they spoke Hebrew?
Like Rashi says, right? Isha is a proof that they spoke Hebrew. But the pasuk says, "Asei lecha sarof." Right? He has Sifsei Chacham says the Ramban says that Moshe went after the Shem HaEtzem and not after the Shem HaToar. Karsh Baruch Hu Koro Sarof. Sarof is a certain description, but the real word is that's like a descriptive thing. But the noun is Nachash. You went there. That's a real lumdus, no? Karsh Baruch Hu says, "Asei lecha sarof." He says he didn't tell me what to make it out of, but he told me to make a nochosh. Sure, he calls it a sarof, but he told me to make a. But essentially, it's a nochosh. So, what type of a nochosh should it be? Well, nechoshes.
Naturally,
it's funny, huh? Nechasha nechoshes. Certainly sounds good.
It's all he had.
No, right. Why is it
a wrong thing for them to do to have asked Moshe to respond for them? I mean, he clearly, you know, he has. They're under.
I'd say that the word nachosh and nachoshes must be related. So there's a certain. You know, quality of nechoshes like flesh and when and it shines a certain way, it looks like it's in motion. So anyway, so if it's nechosh, then nechosh is the most appropriate. It's like the Ramban says, like gold looks like it's on fire. Like certain things have a certain appearance. But anyway, that's not neither here nor there. So anyway, so what I want to say is like this. So Rashi quotes the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, and the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, "V'omru Rabosenu." Right? He says, He says, "Ubeneshichas anochosh nema vehibit." Right? It says vehibit el nechash hanechoshes v'choy. What's vehibit mean? What's vehibit? It means like this: Shelo haya memahir noshoch hanochosh lisrapos. It wasn't a quick fix. Elim kein mabit bo bekavana. Right? The word hibit means a gazing. It doesn't just mean a looking. It shouldn't to be mabit is more of a gaze, a concentrated gaze. Okay. So they were only cured if they looked at it with a certain intense gaze. V'omru Rabosein v'chi nochosh memes o mechaya. Does that nachash, not the nachash that bit them, does the nachash on the stick, is that kill or give life? Ela bizman shel Yisrael mistaklin kalpei malo, when they were looking up, umishabdin es libon laviyim shebashamayim, and they were subjugating their selves to God. Hayu misrapin, vim lav hayu nemukin or nizukin. So that's what the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah says. Bothered by that problem. So what I think was going on is like this, that Moshe, it wasn't necessarily wrong for them to ask for Moshe to be misbal for them. Okay? But it can't supply, it shouldn't remove, it depends why they're doing it. If they're doing it because, like you're saying, that they're going to be misbal, but Moshe's tefillahs will help too, that's fine. To recognize a certain idea of Moshe's tefillah, that's fine. But apparently HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw in this situation that there was really based on a problem. It was a problem that they really lacked a certain ability to be mispalel on their own behalf. They still had a certain shemetz, a certain remnant of the old generation. Not that they were fixated on the man of Moshe in like a physical security. They were out of that. But in terms of their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they felt that they needed someone, they needed Moshe to be mispalel on their behalf. They didn't have that last level of independence to approach God on their own. And the Nechash HaNechoshes was really the bridge to take them from being reliant on Moshe to a certain amount of independence. But like the Rambam says, you can't go from extreme to extreme quickly. Wouldn't have been effective for Moshe to say, go home and daven. They still needed something there to help them focus their attention and some sort of something to help them make the transition from being reliant on Moshe's tefillah to taking something in their own hands. They weren't able to do it on a purely abstract level. Just go home and have kavana, like the Rambam says, and imagine yourself, you know, bashamayim and all these kinds of things. They still needed something physical to help focus them, their attention, to help, like a prop, to help focus their mind, to be mishabed libon lavim bashamayim. But it was like a way of weaning them off of the reliance of Moshe, but still they needed something to assist them. It's like the Rambam says that the Jews couldn't go from Mitzrayim and just go into Tefillah. They still needed the Karbanos. So, well, they didn't know, what do you mean to? It's like saying to them, do Avodas Hashem. The Jews in Mitzrayim only knew, the only idea of Avoda was sacrifices. To tell the person, well, now forget that whole idea of Avodah that you used to have. We have a whole new thing. It's called, instead of taking animals and slaughtering them and bringing the, you know, burning offerings, now you just go to a shul and you daven. It would be totally foreign. It would not make any sense to them. I think the Rambam there says in the Morah, he says it would be like for us to tell a person, now Avodas Hashem doesn't need davening, you just have to have the right ideas. Oh, what kind of Avodah is that? It wouldn't make any sense to us. You know what I mean? So there has to be some kind of a transition. And this was their final step for becoming fully independent. That they had the right ideas, but emotionally they still felt they needed Moshe's tefillah to effectuate for them. And the genius of the Nechash HaNechoshes was that it was something that was took them off of Moshe, put it into their hands, but gave them something to assist them in doing it on their own. Okay? Now, you might ask me a question. Because there are two cases in that mission in Russia.
That's where I am now. That's what I was looking up. Right?
That's right.
Hands himself.
Yeah, there are two cases in the Mishnah. The Mishnah on Chav Tes Amal from Russia. It says, V'hoya kasher yorim Moshe yado v'govar Yisrael. Right? V'chasher yaniach yado v'govar Amalek. So this was right when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim. And they were already attacked by Amalek. And it says, so Moshe, Aaron, and Hur went up to the Har, and Moshe was mispalo, and he had his hands up in the air. And every time his hands would be up, the Jews would be on top. They were overpowering the enemy. And when his hands would sink down, the enemy was overpowering them. So what did they do? They propped up their arms, right? He propped up his arms. So the Gemara says, "V'chi yadav shel Moshe osos mochama, o shovros mochama." I mean, when Moshe has his hands up, that's waging a war. He's waging a war when are his hands fighting the battle? Right? I mean, the problem is nowadays people wouldn't ask this question, right? Nowadays people wouldn't ask this question. Of course, it makes perfect sense. Ella lomar lecha calls man shehoi Yisrael mistaklin kalpe malo mishabdin es liban lavim shebashamayim hoi misgabrim. Vimlav, how you know them? So he says, no. When they were looking up, so they were being mishabe libam lavim b'shevashamayim. Then they were winning, and if not, they were falling. Kayotzi b'davar ata omer ase lechasora fesimos oanes vayakol anoshech v'ros ovachai v'chi nachash meimis o nachash mechaya. Right, same thing. So the question is, you see that was the first event was with the first generation. So they also seem to have that the same. It seems to be the same story, and it's happening in both generations. My whole point is this is indicative of a transition. But how could it then how could it be that it occurred in the right there? I'm not going to give up that easily. It's a good question though. Let's look at the cases more carefully. Let's look at the cases a little more closely. Are they really the same? If you wanted to be, you could say it's exactly a proof to what I'm saying. They had the same, they also exhibited that same ability, and then they blew it. But that's not what I'm going to say. So, I don't know, I was thinking about this problem, but I'll just say two things seem... Make the cases very different. First of all, by Amalek they were attacked, and they were in the middle of they had to defend themselves, right? It wasn't really like it's either defend yourself or die, right? It doesn't really. It's not like a moment of the. It's true, a guy might not be brave to enter a battle, but that doesn't mean he's just going to let himself get killed when he's being attacked. So it's not like that situation was not really a situation of independence. It was sort of like a last ditch, it was basically a fight for their life at that point. So for that, okay, that they were able to do. That they were able to do. They were able to... To not just lie down and be destroyed. And that whole event is just a situation of desperation, not the same kind of a thing. You can't really say it exhibited any character of courage like this nation, like this group of people who were able to mount an attack after they had a plan. But the other thing is, yeah, Mayor. No, by the snake, it's true. They also were being killed, but it wasn't an enemy that they could. There was no physical counterpunch that they could throw. There was no physical defense. That's a much higher level. No. They could not avoid the snake bite. Now, it's not like a physical battle. But I think more importantly. It's they still were that whole case was still a fixation on it still was they still needed Moshe in that case. What were they watching? They were watching Moshe be mispalo. Right? And they, of course, they weren't on the level that they couldn't appreciate an idea at all, but they couldn't have any initiative on their own of tefillah. The situation of the Nachash and Nachoshes, they were osek in on their own. They looked up to the Shemayim. Actually, Rashi says, Rashi just says they would look. They would look up. The point was they would look up. Mistaklin kalpi mala. And they had an idea of God when they looked up. And that idea of God was impressed upon them. They needed some action. They needed something to do to focus their attention in the right direction. That was this frightening moment. He gets bitten by the snake. You need something to do to pull you into that realm. But by the case of Amalek, they really all they had what they really had over there is a certain security that Moshe is involved in taking care of them. And what does it mean? Who cares if his hands are up or down? Right? Well, who cares if his hands are up? They can't. What does it mean, Kol Zman Sheyo Yisrael Mistak and Kalpi Mala? Why can't they look up when his hands are down? Right? Why can't they go, hey, pick your hands up? Why isn't that enough? Right? It means to say that they were only on the level over there that they needed that security of knowing that Moshe was being mispalel for them. When they saw that Moshe was being mispalel for them, then they were able to have a certain security in God. Okay? It was right. It was totally through Moshe. And they Moshe was like completely taking the place of their avoda. And when they could see that there's somebody who is involved in tefillah, when they have the security of Moshe, that level is enough of a zechus. For them, that itself is enough of a zechus that they are attached to the proper individual and engage in the proper activity. It's already, when they look up and they see that model of Moshe being mispalel, That was enough of a zechus to save them, but that's a very very minimal level. That's a very very minimal level. Like it's just recognizing an ideal. It's not something that they were osek in, but by the Nechash and Nechoshes, they really were osek in it themselves. They just needed a certain assistance to get them to be able to do it, but they were really doing it on their own over there. They just—they really were osek in the right activity. Over there, it was just that they had a certain proper ideal, and that itself—that was—that was enough of a zechus. I have to think about it. I have to think about it. That's like we say, right? The Ramban has that, but right. So that's what we're saying—that that they had the idea. You know, the door of Mitzrayim, they always just complained. They never said to Moshe, "Pray for us." They just complained. They said, we want water, we want this, we want that. Right here, they recognize, or they just complain, we're all dying, why are we all dying? But over here, they recognize that it was a failing of on their part in terms of their relationship to God. And they recognize tefillah is the proper way to approach God. But they still had a certain remnant of the idea that they need someone else to take care of them. But in the right, they were in the right framework, but they still had that idea that they needed someone to take care of them. So the Nechash and Chosh is a way to separate the idea of tefillah from the individual Moshe. Okay? And that's like the Ramban. So the Ramban says, the Ramban quotes Yerushalmi. I forget what the Ramban is right now, but he says by the whole controversy of being mispalel to Malachim, of a machnise rachamim. So the Ramban, have it in, yeah. You have it in Slichus in the end of in the Tachanun over there. Machnisei Rachamim is over there. But so the Ramban says, the Yerushalmi that says that God is not like a Melech Bosav Adam. Melech Bosav Adam, you can't approach him. You got to go to the palace and knock on the door and ask the guard to get in. But Kadosh Baruch Hu, you go straight to God. So to go to someone else would be, I mean, the Ram considers being mispalel to an intermediary to go to God as a vazar. He considers that to be a vazar. Because it's a denial of the proper idea of God. That you need someone to go to for you. That's a there's no idea that you have to go through somebody else. That's the Baruch Hu Shalom problem. I think Rav Moshe has in the tshuva. You don't say, you shouldn't say it.
Rav Moshe says that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, is that a problem now?
I mean,
yeah, why not? Because you're not really asking them to.
I think it's like explaining like as a marshal, asking Malach to
Baruch. And why do you tell them to go?
I think they're more
Tzeis
Kam.
Tzeis Kam. Stay.
You don't sing it later. So you sing it now.
Stay.